originally created by Connor Contemporary, and we decided to collaborate on this installment because we both are sharing the same visions for our missions here, to support and aid in the professional development of new emerging artists. I'm Jackie Ionita, and I'm the director of Hamiltonian Gallery, and I would like to start off by saying thank you to Jamie and Lee for all of your help with this and your very generous advice, and everybody from Connor, Patrick, Martha, and Paul Stowe, thank you for building this gallery and coming up with this incredible program. And Nathan Wallace, my assistant, you're awesome and you couldn't do it without you. And thank you to Philippa Hughes with Pinkline for sponsoring this event with marketing, and also Sheldon Scott with Marvin Restaurant for sponsoring the after party. So we'll have lots of food to do it afterward tomorrow. The focus of this panel discussion is the artist and gallery relationship. So we're going to talk more about everybody's different approach to that dynamic on the panel. So I'll introduce the panel. And first we have Craig Applebaum. And Craig is the owner and founder of Industry Gallery, which is just upstairs from Connor in the 8th Street corridor. And then we have Lee Connor, who is the founder of Connor Contemporary Art. And then we have Catherine Cornelius, who is an interdisciplinary artist, and she's represented by Curator's Office just down 14th Street, Studio Theater Building. And then Maggie Michael, who is represented by G Fine Art, and Maggie is a painter. And Seth Adelsberger, who's represented by Civilian Projects, Civilian Art Projects. And Seth also opened up his own gallery in Baltimore called Mudashank. So thank you, panelists, for being involved in this. So we can start out a little bit by just briefly talking about how one goes by obtaining or tries to get gallery representation. It's pretty distinct for each artist and how they got that or got to that point. But we can talk a little bit about, just from the gallery's perspective, with Craig and with Lee, what you guys require or what you don't want.
Now?
Yes.
Me first?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess
wow.
Out
oh, that's out of order. I'm sorry. I'm not going to start by saying what we don't want, because that's a negative way, I think, of approaching it. From my point of view, the gallery-artist relationship is symbiotic. If you don't make a piece of artwork, I don't have anything to do. That's what my partner Jamie and I do for a living. Symbiotic, yes, exactly. It's like a marriage. We have to know each other. We have to like each other. We have to work well together. You have to like me. You have to like Jamie. You have to like our work and what we do. But mainly, you have to know our program and what we're trying to say. You as an artist are trying to say a certain thing, and as a program, and you know from working with gallerists and being a gallerist yourself, that your program is saying something about what you see. And we look for people whose work enhances and fits within our program. Does that make sense? Yeah, good. What else? I have to take questions on this because I don't have a set pat answer for this.
One thing I would like to add to that is oftentimes galleries list their instructions on their website if you want to be a part of their program. So at Hamiltonian Gallery, we accept applications from December through February to become a fellow, and we pretty much only exhibit fellows and mentor artists. Other websites say that they work very hard on their curatorial programming, and they're not accepting submissions at that time. So it just you just have to know the program and do the research on the website.
Yeah, know what you're asking for.
Absolutely, know what you're asking for. For example, here's a good example. My program, I'm not sure, and many of you have been upstairs to Industry, where I am upstairs, simply, but my program is completely different from Lee's program. We are a design gallery. We are not a fine art gallery. So people are constantly asking to define design, which falls more within the rubric of the purely the decorative arts. So I'm constantly, to this day, getting requests for representation from photographers and painters and sculptors and people who clearly are not doing any research, I might add. So I think knowing your audience, knowing the gallery, researching the gallery, if you're going to propose something to Lee, you clearly want to research her program, and just as people research mine. And as you say, you know, you have a specific program for people who want to show with you. Mine is a little bit less flexible. I had a Belgian designer contact me not long ago who had, he was a graduate from Eindhoven, which many of you know is probably the best design academy in Europe, and sent me his images, and I said, let's do a show together. So, you know, it can be as formal as submitting an application or as less formal as when you see something that strikes your eye and you know that it fits within your program. But I do agree that you should definitely do your research so that you know when you, before you approach a gallery, that you know what their program is.
What type of design are you specifically looking for? Because there's graphic design in the
front. You're right, not graphic design. I should have specified that more. I don't like to use the word furniture design, but in its basic form, many people refer to it as museum quality works of functional design. You're right, design does encompass graphic design and other areas of design as well. Specifically, museum quality, limited edition, and unique works of functional design, sculptural design. My very first show was with an artist who created sculptural seating units made out of aluminum. So pretty much museum quality works of functional art, functional design. Pieces you can sit on that you can interact with far more so than you could with your purely works of fine art, actually. And for the best way to define it, I find, is to come visit the gallery. And you'll see clearly when you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. So.
Yeah. I also talked to the other artists in the group of artists, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think by networking with other people, whether it's in a certain gallery or whether it's in a community of galleries, it's good to know that because your work may fit here, but not here. Or I may be full until 2012,
right.
But maybe Seth has an opportunity for you if the work is what he's looking for. So
get involved.
You must. You absolutely must.
And like Lee said, it definitely is a symbiotic relationship. It's can be a very complex relationship that must be managed carefully. So
I want to turn this over to the artists, and we can start with Maggie. What do artists want from galleries?
Well, I think, you know, artists want different things at different times. And especially I found from my own experience as a student when I was studying art, one of the things that I had as one of my hopes and goals was, you know, to have a gallery represent my work. It was kind of like this sense of affirmation or like a stage of, you know, becoming an artist. And I see that a little bit differently now that I'm out of school for some time, and I have been with a gallery for quite a while, so it's really not fair of me to say that. And truly, I mean that it's not fair of me to say that. But I think now people are more open to alternative ways of exhibiting. And, you know, I don't want to say the internet is you know, the best place to show work, but actually it is such a huge widespread of a place to put information that I think at this point what artists want from galleries is going to be something like a physical space to show your work, to be able to show a body of work that you've probably developed for a year or more. And I think that's really important to have that physical place of work, but having your own website, which I don't have, and you know that's something I've often and know I should have as my own independent thing, but I found that I've kind of relied on galleries to do that, and I see that now as being like a fault of mine that I should, you know, fix ASAP. And so, to repeat the question, it's what do artists want from galleries? You know, I think artists want space and audience. You know, if you are an artist that wants to show your work, you want a gallery. Not all artists feel like that's something they need to do, but probably most artists at some point want to have an audience. And your audience generally is, you know, relatively small. Like, I heard this one artist, and I wish I could remember who it was, and it was a big artist like John Baldessari or somebody huge that said something like to the effect of, you know, I make art for, you know, a handful of people. I make art for my friends. And it was really about that internal, not internal, but that close-knit community that you have with people that really know you and follow your work, people that you would, you know, call your friends or, you know, part of that networking, but even closer than networking. So, you know, when you have that kind of audience, I think it's important for you as an individual artist. And then, you know, the public audience, you know, becomes really important at a certain time. And that's where galleries are must.
And Seth?
Yeah, I think definitely audience, expanding your audience, especially as a young artist and trying to reach people that can maybe afford your work beyond the peer group that you kind of interact with in your studio and share ideas with. Having gallery representation can help you kind of bridge a generational gap or reach people that are actually looking to buy work in that kind of commercial exhibition setting. The other thing a gallery can offer you with representation is context and how your work is contextualized with the rest of the artists they represent and how that work kind of puts your work in a different light. And I think that's important when you're approaching a gallery, to know the program, to know how your work fits into the bigger picture and why it would make sense to show in that space. We've had artists approach us with the gallery that I co-direct, and some of them have never looked at the website, and they're just blindly kind of looking for a space to show. And so it just kind of reinforces the fact that it's really important to kind of know what that gallery or try to understand what that gallery's mission is and where they're going with the work to find a good fit.
Like I find that things are oftentimes relationship-based. You know, it's like you might get a cold call from somebody in Belgium and it might work out in, you know, really awesome and lucky for both of you. But I think most relationships come through relationships that you might have with that gallerist or an artist that's already part of that gallery or a friend of the gallerist. So it is really important when people are talking about, you know, being out there. I think you said something about that. Or, you know, like your presence in the community of the art viewers and makers and people that give exhibitions is really important. You know, it's not just like important to get a show, but it's important to know what's being shown and what people are, you know, kind of thinking is either important individually in a more personal way or as a statement that might be, you know, kind of broader and reach. That through those relationships, oftentimes people recommend, and I think that helps a lot.
Okay, so trying to find something that hasn't been said already that I agree with. I think the other thing that you benefit from having gallery representation is someone who knows the bigger picture that you can go to for advice. From a personal experience, I've had opportunities to exhibit internationally, and sometimes I wasn't certain whether or not that would be a good choice for me, given either the organization or the way in which the work was going to be exhibited. And because I work in video, there's sort of concerns about just sending a copy of your DVD out to Germany or out to Italy or out to Spain. And so I've found that it's been really helpful for me to have someone who is knowledgeable about different galleries and spaces and has a sense of the international market so that
I can get these kind of guidance on things that I may choose to pursue as exhibition opportunities outside of what I formally get with my gallery. And I should also, you know, just emphasize that point. Just because you start to have gallery representation, that doesn't mean that you can't have other opportunities to exhibit through either nonprofit spaces or DIY kind of initiatives or through other galleries internationally or whomever that you might come across your work.
So once you land your first solo show, what does the gallery expect from you? Craig, I'd like to open that up to you. What are some points that you expect from your artist?
It's interesting because my gallery has the very first few shows have been their very first solo shows in the United States. So while they have had shows internationally, I think my last three or four and my current show is the very first solo show in the United States. What that involves too is because it's their first show, this is where they need the gallerist in a sense too, because they want to show all of their work. They want to bring everything and say, this is my first solo show, this is my first shot, this will be the one that gets me the most publicity perhaps, because we're in a big city, of course. I want to show as much as possible. And I made that mistake, actually, with my very first show. We had too many pieces because I agreed with the artist that we should show as much as possible. And we did. We showed, 25 pieces, which might have been too much. But I think now, certainly, I've learned from a curatorial perspective that's very important when someone is having their first solo show to curate the show properly, to really let them see that this is their opportunity to really introduce their work, their best work, of course, to the audience, to their audience actually, and to just really, you know, they're nervous. I just did a solo show with an artist. It was his first solo show. He was extremely nervous. So part of the relationship with the gallerist too, you do, like Lee said, it's symbiotic, but you also, it's like a marriage. You also act like a parent almost, because you have to really calm them and provide them and
galleries, you know, want mothers.
Yeah, nurture, exactly, that was the word, yeah. Exactly. Nurture them. Nurture them because it's their first solo show and you expect to have a long-term relationship with them and to show them more than once, which is why the first show is probably the most important because it sets the tone. So, and Lee can certainly add to that.
Well, Craig brings up a good point. I mean, rarely do you go into a situation where you have a solo show with an artist and you think, well, this is terminal. I don't ever want to see this person again. And would you want to have a show with a gallery? Like, I don't want to do this anymore, but I'm going to do it. No. And what you expect out of a show and a relationship with an artist is professionalism. You're on time.
Yeah.
You know, work as described, not adding other pieces.
Yeah.
Not selling out of your studio during the show. Okay. Undercutting your own efforts or those of your gallery and all those things that entails. That's what I expect. I expect a long-term relationship, basically a first show. Despite everything you read in ArtNet and every other place, most shows don't just sell out. You know, when you have a gallery and you give an artist a show or a designer a show, that's a long-term investment, because a net investment is all those costs that we incur plus all those costs that you incur, okay? So we're probably in the hole that first show, even if everything does sell, because you can't possibly. So this is a long-term relationship. You're looking for 2 to 3 shows. You're looking to work with each other, to enhance each other, and that's that symbiotic relationship. And for me, anything short of that's just not good. So
artists also should, back to your original point, work with their galleries to edit their exhibitions and allow them to.
I'm sure Lee, as well as I have had arguments about certain pieces, which somebody wants in the show, someone doesn't want in the show. But I will say that with each show, you know, many of the designers, perhaps this speaks as well to the artists that I work with, they actually, the reason they like working with galleries too is because they want to focus on their art or their designs, and they don't want to focus on the business side as much as having to get out there and pound the pavement, which they want me
That's
to
what
do.
We do.
Exactly.
That's what
which
we
they
do.
Want me, they say, which I had one artist tell me he did not want to spend any time talking to collectors or museums or anyone. He said, that's what I need you to do. So, and that's as you've mentioned as well about, you know, why you needed a gallery. You mentioned having space. That's one aspect, but it's also to have somebody represent your best interests, who believes in you and your work, who will promote you aggressively.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to think that I promote my designers aggressively.
Amazingly so.
Aggressively so, internationally so. I mean, even with museums around the world, even. So I think what you want to look for too, and that's something to ask too, is to see, to talk to other artists in a gallery to find out, well, are you happy with your representation? Are you happy with how they're showing your work? And
or how,
you
know, we talk about your work,
or
how
exactly.
It's described. Mm-hmm. Most artists can't talk about their work. Nobody here, of course, but most artists, I mean, if I made artwork, I couldn't talk about it. You know,
yeah.
It's the worst thing. And so that's what my partner Jamie does, is talk to them. But we also learn how to talk about people's work, because there's always a 1 cent explanation, a 5 cent explanation, there's a $20 explanation, and that, you know, just in terms of how your work is talked about. And so it helps bring together everything that you're trying to do and what we're trying to do.
Courage, love, and trust. If you don't have those, you can't have a relationship between the galleries and the artists. Would you say that's true?
Love, sure. Courage, absolutely. Trust, yes.
Trust, yes.
But the courage to trust a gallerist with your work.
Well, you have to. Everything that you made that you're about to put in our white box, okay, is your love. It's what you do. We have to treat it responsibly, but then you guys trust us to treat it responsibly.
And that goes to the points made earlier about you doing your research and figuring out where you're going to fit in. You can't trust a gallery director to edit your work down if you don't believe in their program and believe in their own eye.
And you also can't trust that a gallerist will find you if you're not available. So I think going back to your presence in the space, especially the spaces that you like and programs that you like, you know, in your own city, in nearby cities, in cities across the country, you know, it's important to, of course, you can't necessarily attend things that aren't in your region, but it's really important to have, you know, that kind of an awareness that you're there, you might be a perfect match, but they need to know what you do too.
Yeah, I think like visibility is a huge thing, and with the internet and how to get your work out there, it's become kind of more important than ever. A lot of the artists we find for our program, we find either through Flickr or when MySpace was active. I was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was making a lot of contacts with artists then and kind of bookmarking their websites. And so when Alex and I started the gallery, we had a list of 100 artists that had maybe, that didn't have representation and had maybe never been in a show, but were actively putting their work out there, updating these free ways to put your work on the internet. And so when we had our first show, we had about 30 artists in the show, and they came from Belgium and the West Coast and New York and also local Baltimore artists, and so it was kind of a really interesting way to set the tone for how we've operated since then in trying to contextualize local artists with artists on a more national scale and kind of mix them in and allow the artists the opportunity to make these contacts with artists from other cities, and often those artists will travel and come to the openings and kind of build a bigger kind of artist network just through the space that we offer them.
And that's exciting to hear, Seth, that you had a list of 100 and some artists when you opened the gallery based on an electronic media base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that makes me remember another artist-run space above you, Gallery 4, which is a group of artists that collaborate and share living space and exhibition space. very professional space, and they have so many artists that they've found, and a lot of it is through other forms of submission. That sounds bad. Looks like, come on. What I meant to say was the Sondheim Prize, which is open to all artists that are in this, you know, D.C., Baltimore, Richmond, maybe Delaware. It's the Mid-Atlantic region. Well, surprisingly, you know, if you're one of these hundreds of artists that apply, your work doesn't just get seen by that group of jurors. Your work can be seen by other spaces that have access to those artists. And that's why you just submit, too. I mean, submit. Send your work to calls, you know, calls for entry. It goes beyond, you know, the borders of that particular thing that you think you're applying for.
Yeah, as an artist, I graduated from Towson University in 2002, and so that being a liberal arts college and not a school like MICA or the Corcoran, where when you graduate, you have this kind of large peer group and network to continue into the real world with and kind of build your career that way. So the way I started exhibiting my work and getting it out there was applying to juried shows all over the East Coast and stuff like New American Paintings. And I guess when I was about 24, a gallery in the Hamptons in New York found my work through New American Paintings. And so that was kind of my first break and exposure to the larger art scene in other cities, the other art economies in other cities. And it was, she just called me up and offered me a solo show. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. When is it? And she said, in 2 weeks. Which I know is like a completely rare situation. And so, and this was just based on her seeing maybe 3 images of mine through this publication. And so I said, okay, great. What kind of work of mine do you like? What do you want? She said, just put everything that's in your studio in a box truck and drive it up here and we'll sort it out for the show. So it's kind of a really fast thing. And I worked.
Is that unusual?
I think it's very unusual, yeah.
2 weeks.
But what came of that is I worked with her for about 3 or 4 years, and she had consistently was selling my work and was taking me to art fairs in Miami and LA and New York. And that kind of, me as an artist having worked there, but also going to those art fairs and seeing how other cities and other artists and just kind of really getting a broad idea of the scope of the art world, having been in Baltimore for most of my adult life and not really being exposed to any kind of art market or the hopes of ever maybe being able to make a living off of selling work. So that later kind of fed into running a gallery and how that could work and how to kind of try to cultivate more of a collector environment in Baltimore and reach out to artists and stuff like that.
So how do you find time to do your work?
It's been tough. It's definitely been difficult. I think at this point, our gallery's been open about 1.5 years, and we've done about 18 shows since we opened, so every 3 weeks we'll have a show in a week to turn it over to the next one. But it's at the point where initially the work I was attracted to was somewhat similar to the work I was doing, and now through curating these shows, it's beginning to fulfill these aesthetic urges, and so it's kind of affecting my work, and I'm thinking more on the approach, using a curatorial approach as a studio approach, so approaching my own work as assembling a group of objects in a room that are more diverse rather than a kind of modernist, single stylistic approach to my work.
And going on that, how do you feel that your experience as an artist has affected the way you handle artists within your gallery?
I think the way we run our program, it's more definitely a collaboration. The artists bring the work, we hang it together. You know, sometimes we're just meeting for the first time, but it's definitely a kind of learning process on both ends, and something where we don't have a strict way of wanting to present it's definitely a thing where it's exciting and new each time we work with new artists. We started out mainly doing group shows, so we would have lots of artists, and that kind of, as a gallery, really helped to get the name out there and to create a buzz, at least amongst artist scenes in different cities, and so that's really helped with word of mouth. And people will often refer other artists to us that way, so it's kind of just expanded that way as far as getting submissions weekly from people from other cities who are looking for the first step in to showing with a gallery, because it's kind of, I think the artist-run gallery thing is really important, and there's been a kind of rise in it recently with the recession in a lot of East Coast cities, in Philly, not necessarily New York, but Richmond, Baltimore, Philly, there have been a lot of artist-run spaces that have kind of filled a gap in making it easier to find a space to have your work presented and documented professionally and archived, and a way for artists, the artists we show, to kind of then be able to approach galleries in Chelsea now that they have, you know, at least a somewhat reputable gallery on their resume. And installation shots, I think, are very important part of presenting your work, whether it's a website or however you put your work out there. I think it's important to have it documented in a space so that galleries can see that it's at least been shown, verified by another space, and how it looks beyond just a flat JPEG if you're a painter. I think it's really important to kind of show the work in that kind of environment.
So I'm going to take it back to the downers and go over the nitty-gritty a little bit. What is the usual arrangement between galleries and artists in regards to shipping, costs, money?
There is no usual arrangement. That's where, you know, being, well, normally it's 50-50. Let's just start there because that's equitable. Once you understand our costs and once we understand your costs, we can go further. Unfortunately for younger artists, it's not as good a situation as when you're more established. You can have your first show and you can say, what I want you to pay for the framing of my work. And I can say, no, it's your first show. And let's see, as this relationship goes, if we want to make that much more of an investment in you and you and us. By the time you're very, very famous, we're paying for all your production and in your, you know, your car over and everything else. It's not fair because you have less money when you started with us. But, you know, it's a relationship, and you have to look at it that way. So it depends. You were running up to Connecticut in a box truck. I quit doing that a few years ago, but it's not that far off. You've got to do what you've got to do to make a show happen. And you can ask us to pay for it. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. You know, we'll see. But mainly the money is split 50-50. And I'm going to recommend this book to every artist here. It's by my friend Ed Winkleman. It's called How to Run a Commercial Art Gallery. I hope none of you want to run a commercial art gallery. But it helps you understand a little bit about what we do for you or what could be done for you. And if you read this and you understand the insurance and the gas and the tolls and the paint, okay, white paint is a big line item, you'll know, you know, what you're asking for us. So when you approach me, I'm going to keep looking at you. When you approach me and you say, I want to show your gallery, you know, then you know what you're asking for us to do for you. So 50-50 is where it begins. You also write here recouping costs. And
yes.
You have a, well, I mean, that goes to our relationship, and having that second and third show. It's by the second and third show we know, you know. We know if we're going to work together, if you're going to leave me for Gagosian or something. I don't know, you know. But that's how you recoup costs. Is a continued long relationship, if possible.
You have your artists on contracts, and if so, what kind of terms are
you? Yes.
Do you?
I have signed contracts on consignment basis with my artists so far, which, in other words, because my space is large enough, I have a big space that allows me to keep their work. So I have agreements whereby, on a consignment basis, I keep their work for a 12-month period. which allows me during where I physically have the work for a 12-month period, actually. So
which constitutes a contract.
Which constitutes a contract, exactly.
He's an attorney as well.
So that is my contract. I'm sorry. So, yes, the contract is. And most galleries do as well have consignment agreements, which will give you a certain period of time in which to sell the work you are exhibiting at the show. Because frequently, you know, I don't know if any artist says, okay, show's over, I'm taking everything back. I mean, they don't want that because then you can't sell it anymore.
Well, and in terms of contract, if you mean contract, like you are with me for 4.5 years and you will not sell anywhere else in a 50-mile radius, and that kind of thing used to happen a long time ago, and I see it as counterproductive. That's the trust part, you know, where we're going to show the work and what Catherine was talking about, talking to your gallerist, is this a good opportunity for you in Germany or not? Is this a good opportunity in Philadelphia or not? So that contract for me is also just a consignment. Very briefly, and it sets forth what you need to know. And at the end of the day, it's the money. And that's, if you do this, I get this. If you do this, I get this. If this happens, then this happens. If this doesn't happen, then this doesn't happen. If we damage it, this happens. You know, or if something happens, if a water falls on it, this happens. Yeah, it's those things. And you have to think about every contingency in your plan. But that's it. Other than that, it's trust.
And I will say, just from the... we come in from the gallerist perspective, and some artists who might think, I've been presented with this 10-page contract, they're totally trying to take advantage of me. What I would, and I'm not just saying this, but what I would recommend too is seriously, when you enter into representation with the gallery too, and I've been told this by the artists I work with too, is this is the catch-all phrase, but you really need someone to help you. Somebody legally to help, that your interests are protected as well. It's not that we're trying to take advantage of you, trust me. If you sign a contract. But before you sign anything with any gallery, it is very important. Even if it looks like, wow, they're going to take me to Art Basel, and they're going to pay for half my airfare and give me a hotel, but I only get 10%, you know what I mean? So it's very very important, really, that you have someone, before you sign anything, give you guidance, actually. Yeah.
And that goes for reproduction rights and all those sorts of things that gallerists talk to you about with your work, especially with the internet.
The large print given and the small print get taken away?
Absolutely not.
One resource for artists is Washington Area Lawyers for Artists,
yes.
WALA. All of our fellows in our program are members of WALA, and you can go, it's a nominal fee to be a member of WALA. You can go, they do some pro bono work, they have clinics and workshops, and you can come with a contract or any kind of representation agreement, consignment agreement, and just go through each line by line.
Second book, Artwork. Heather Darcy Bandari, read it. Talks about all these sorts of things in case you can't get one of us on the phone or talking to us about it. That's as Ed's book, you know, and that'll help you along, help you make some decisions, even maybe about who to approach. But this is good. If you can't get anybody on WALA to focus on you immediately, this is a good tool.
So, gallerists, what about exclusivity and working with more than one gallery and how the gallery views that, and then we'll go to the artist and see how they view that?
It depends. Again, I mean, we work with artists who we have absolutely no exclusivity rights with. We work with artists where we basically show their work at certain times, certain things. And there are people that we manage their whole career. So that I would hope would be exclusive, you know. That's a bigger investment. So it gets down to that relationship again. I expect us to talk about that. I expect for you to work as hard as I do on that. And we can take it from there. I mean, any gallery can only probably truly represent, unless you're Superwoman or Superman, maybe 10 artists fully, which means maintaining your bios and signing off on your photo credits and all those things that we do. That's the gallerist point. The art dealer point can represent many people, because we can sell the artwork. So it kind of depends on what you want from me, and then we have different levels that we'll talk about.
In Ed's book, actually, this one, the commercial art gallery.
He owes us.
Yes, he does. He actually has a really, what I found to be the most interesting section of his book, where he talks about the pros and cons of exclusivity arrangements for gallerists and artists. actually. A lot of artists think it's great, for example, initially, and then in his words, in his experience, a lot of artists, you know, they'll sign them to a 10-year arrangement, and then they'll start to resent the fact that I'm tied to this gallery for 10 years and nothing's happening here. But seriously, in Ed's book, though, he has a great section on the pros and cons of exclusivity arrangements, if you're fortunate enough to ever be offered one by a gallery, of course.
Well, but also your work, the work grows, the work changes, mm-hmm. the gallery grows, the gallery changes. And these are all fungible things that you have to deal with. So exclusivity, yeah. You know, there are certain things I expect during a show. It's something we talk about. So from your point of view, artist and set, what, you know.
Yeah, I actually, just a quick mention here, I don't represent anyone exclusively either, but then again, a different situation. So few art gallery, design galleries, all my other artists actually show in Europe, so I really, not a single of the other ones show apart from me in the United States, so it hasn't been an issue. So
there are pros and cons of both.
Yeah. Of course, absolutely.
Know yourself.
You understand, you have to accept the pros and cons.
You have to know yourself and what kind of artist you want to be mm-hmm. when you grow up or whatever, you know? And you have to know what kind of gallery we want to be when we grow up. And if those things move together, you do. That's the wrong one. But you have to know yourself and know what you want. And if you want a show in Philadelphia and Baltimore and New York, and that means one thing to me. If you want a show in Belgium and L.A., that's a different kind of thing. You know, it's everybody reaching their own goals. So you can, I mean, we have exclusive agreements. We have non-exclusive agreements. I co-represent several of our artists with other galleries.
Yeah. Okay, what determines a reputable gallery? I mean, someone mentioned that before and you opened a can of worms because now you're talking about a reputable gallery. What determines that? What are some of the...
I truly believe that you're defined by the company you keep and by your roster of artists. I mean, basically, when I've been approached for some emails from some designers have told me, you know, I looked at your roster and I really think it's very impressive one that I would like to join. However, it's all, look, I mean, what one person thinks is reputable, somebody else might say that's the gallery to stay away from, you know? I mean, it really depends upon what you're looking for, perhaps. I mean, I'm not saying that you should just, the first gallery that accepts your work, you should jump into it, you know? I mean, maybe Lee can speak to this more, you know what I mean?
A reputable gallery is financially responsible to its artists.
Yeah.
Okay? I can't tell you how many artists that say, you know, this is a long time ago, we've been open almost 12 years now, and like in the first couple of years, I had many artists come up to me and say, really want to show with you, and then we checked around and we found out that you paid everybody on time. And we really want to show with you now.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, it never occurred to me that I wouldn't, you know. That's a reputable gallery.
Because there are a lot that don't. Yeah.
Many don't. Reputable galleries talk about your work the way you want it to be talked. I mean, there are lots of things that can go into that. Then it gets subjective. But to me, you have a fiduciary responsibility to each other. You know, at the end of the day, we're selling artwork here for a living. That's what we're trying to do anyway.
So, artists, how do you all feel supported by your galleries, and how do you feel that your work has changed since getting your representation, or your studio practice has changed?
I don't really think my work has changed since I've gained gallery representation. I was one of Andrea's first artists that she selected to be a part of her gallery back in 2004. If anything, over time, our relationship has developed more, not just because of the solo shows I've had with her, but because of this outside support she's given me, both with supporting to go back to the exclusivity thing. Because of a collector, my work was exposed to another gallery out in Germany, and that gallery has exhibited my work quite a bit throughout Europe, and Andrea has been really great about allowing that my work gets to be exposed to a different audience, and so that's been really helpful. So if anything, like having that kind of encouragement and being able to have the support of her on an international stage, even though she's not the one exactly doing the exhibiting, has given me, I guess, the encouragement to keep going in certain directions with it. And it's also been really great to have her support in doing some of my live performance work from like a financial perspective and from a marketing perspective. And also even when I've given talks throughout the area too, like that's another way your gallery can support you is the sort of outside activities. You basically don't want to just get gallery representation and then sit back and think, okay, I'm just going to coast along and they're going to do everything for me. You really have to actively keep building your career and taking advantage of opportunities to show with nonprofit spaces and exhibit in other arenas. And I think the fact that through when she's shown my work though at art fairs, that's also great because then you get to see a whole other slew of, again, sort of like national, international people and their reactions to your work, and that's something that's also sort of invaluable and encouraging in terms of continuing your practice in a certain way, I guess.
My experience with the galleries that I've worked with for longer periods of time is that there's certainly a trust that they trust that the work that I'm working on is good. and that they really, and it may sound a little odd to say it, but they really believe in what I'm doing. And so I've always felt a support and encouragement as my work changes and develops. I don't know that it's, I would never say it changed because, you know, I'm represented by a gallery. However, I can say that because I've had shows and had those opportunities to have that amount of work made and seen and had dialogues and conversations, that all goes into your development and thinking. You know, if you don't show your work and you just keep it stacked up in your studio, it's a different experience with the work. When you have the space to kind of step back and, you know, see a exhibition that you documented from, you know, 4 years ago or from 8 years ago or 10 years ago, and you can see how you've sort of taken your work through, you know, different stages of your own life, your, you know, philosophical journey. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we change and grow up that comes through generally in the work. So I think if your gallerist is understanding and that you're human and you're going to develop and change as an individual, that they will, for the most part, support you. And it's been absolutely true for me, and I'm very thankful for that relationship, which I would also consider a friendship. And I think, you know, you were basically describing the same thing with Andrea. And, you know, it goes into that kind of symbiotic relationship that Lee mentioned right in the very beginning. It is a really, you know, kind of, not always that you're so tightly woven together, but, you know, it's like on those studio visits that might happen, you know, a year before you have a show, or, you know, the phone conversation about what you're doing today in the studio. Like, those are really important parts of your kind of development if you're not in a regular conversation with other artists. Going back to audience, and, you know, who is your audience? Is it just you? Do you like talking to yourself? You know, it's like, yeah, I talk to myself a lot. you know, so it's you know, I think so many things are about relationships, and that goes within the artwork and, you know, outside of the artwork.
Can I just add one quick thing about the dynamic and this symbiotic relationship? It does sort of ebb and flow too. I mean, you might have more communication with your gallery leading up to a show, or if you're taking this new direction in your work, even without a show scheduled, you might then engage with your gallery a little bit more. So it does kind of also ebb and flow because you're not the only one that they're representing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not the only one.
Right.
That's like important to remember.
If I could hop in here. The panel, of course, is called Emerge, not Established, and so I would assume that most of us haven't had the kind of gallery show in a city that we like, and we're, you know, wanting to find out how to get there. And one could believe that one's art fits with a certain gallery. One can have visited the gallery a couple times and maybe even had contact with some of the artists they show, one could feel like it's potentially a good fit. One could believe that you're not ever going to sell out of your studio and undercut your dealer because that is awful. One could understand it's a symbiotic relationship and it's like marriage. But if the gallerist never sees one's samples or artwork to begin with, all the rest of that is moot. And most of the galleries are almost always not seeing any submissions. How does one start? And this question could also be reversed with what are the unrepresented artists doing to keep themselves unrepresented?
One thing I'll say is, as we talked about before, as I like to think of as aggressively as I market my designers, I think that if you are looking for representation, you need to be extremely aggressive in marketing yourself as well. And I don't just mean, it's true. I mean, if somebody sends me an email, like I said, I'm doing a show with somebody who had just emailed me with his work, and I thought, oh, your work is incredible. I love the work. That's rare, I understand. But if you send an email to a gallery with a submission, a high-resolution image saying, I'd love to show with your work, and you don't hear anything, and you drop it, that's not the way to do it. There's a way, you follow up. You have to be aggressive, actually. If there's a particular gallery that you think that you are perfectly suited for, and it's in Washington, D.C., perhaps you don't physically go, you call, you email, you really need to get your name in the door. I just think you have to be, especially in this market, in this economy, you need to be extremely aggressive about marketing yourself as well, because it's your work, and no one's going to see it unless you're aggressive about yourself, about your own work, and getting it out to other galleries, too. That's just my philosophy there.
I think that can backfire, though, Craig. Sorry. There has to be some sort of balance between it. And having worked at a couple galleries in the area before in the past, I mean, specifically, like, people do not want to just get unsolicited submissions to the point that they will make that a statement on their website, and you have to respect that. So that's when becoming, like Maggie was saying before, like a fixture in the community, going to the openings, striking up conversations, not just, hey, in the middle of their gallery opening, let me show you my artwork, or hi, I'm so-and-so, remember that email I sent you? Don't do that. Talk about the work that's on the wall and what you think is, have an intellectual conversation with them about something that's not about you, and then that's like how you start to kind of like build these sort of memories and connections.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different, I understand, because I don't have a statement that says no one solicited works.
I just want to add one thing about my own personal experience, because here at the gallery, we only take submissions from December to February. And if you nail a portfolio here outside of that time, and it's a CD, I'm probably not going to pop it in the computer. But if you write a really nice email with a link to your website, I always look at the link. I always do. And I'm not saying that
right,
that's everybody's
right. Exactly.
It's 2 seconds of my time. So
the images are important. I think it's most important if you're doing these cold call images, and certainly never a phone call, an image with an email with either a link to a website or high resolution images, without question. So.
And another thing is, do a lot of group shows, because gallerists do leave their own gallery and go to different shows and check things out. So maybe they'll stumble upon your work that way.
And in addition to that, also keep your eye out on those open call submissions. And sometimes you just apply for things, even if you don't necessarily want to show at that space or whatever, because of the jury who's there. I mean, and a lot of the people who are local and run spaces will curate open call shows through the WPA or places like that. So that's another way to just have your work seen without having to come knocking on a door.
I'll give you 2 things to do today. Every time you go into a gallery, sign the book.
Yeah.
Sign the book. Go in Chelsea, sign the book. Go to South Place, sign the book. I will notice your name. I don't sit there and look at it. I don't administer that list. But I'll notice it after a while. And if you do info at Connor Contemporary or info, whatever, eventually we'll know your name. You sign in. I see your name. I know you've been to see my shows. So when you ask me to look at your work, I know that you're making an informed decision to do so. How do you get your work seen outside of D.C.? Well, the internet's pretty good. Show with a good gallery here that shows your work elsewhere, if that's a good arrangement for you. There are a number of different ways. It's the same, I think it's probably the same strategy that you do. If you want to show in New York, you're going to have to go to New York and do some research. If you want to show in Berlin, you're going to have to know who you're talking to, what you want to see, you know. That's the best thing. It's the same model, I think.
A good way to do your sort of window shopping, whether you're looking nationally or internationally, is going to the art fairs and seeing what they're putting together. It won't always be a fully true example of what the work is that they show, but it's a good sort of slice of what they are showing, and you can, you know, get the contact information, do more research afterwards, maybe even while you're there, introduce yourself, but it's a good way to kind of shop around.
I think in that same breath, being an artist who has gone to art fairs and seen other artists kind of what could be called aggressively marketing themselves to these galleries who have booths, who at the same time have thousands of dollars at stake and are there to essentially reach collectors and museum people, I've seen artists take it really hard when they've been turned away by a gallery. They won't pay them any attention at something like that, and it's really not, I guess an art fair isn't a career fair for artists to go out and peddle their portfolios. Right. And so I think that is the proper approach is to shop around, to become familiar with galleries from other cities that way, and to get a glimpse of their program, so that you can then maybe wait a few weeks or a month and maybe send them a link to your website or send them a few images through an email rather than to approach them while they're trying to recoup the costs of the booth.
So be personable, but don't take it personally.
Yeah, and I think it is good to maybe introduce yourself, shake their hand, but to not push yourselves on them and try to take over their time with flipping through a portfolio or something like that.
Don't leave a postcard either.
Yeah.
It goes directly the moment that you cross the border to that little trash can there, because you know how much stuff we have?
Can I just follow up the question from the gentleman at the front who asked about how the artist feels like the odds are stacked against them and they need to find that way to get in with the gallerist. Could you give a number of examples of the ways that you've picked up artists most satisfactorily for you over the years? If somebody tries all the different methods of networking and does all the professional things that you require, where have you actually found in the end that most of those fulfilling relationships have come from? From somebody, a friend told you about somebody, a buyer told you about somebody who sent you the slide with the images, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you do get a lot of collectors referring people, and it's very kind of them to do so because it's another vote of confidence. You know, if they've invested heavily or collected heavily on an artist, I like to look and see what they're doing because it also informs how I work with them. So, yes, that's a good thing. I do studio visits. I love the fact that artists are running galleries now. Yeah, and yes, we've had a recession, unfortunately. There are not as many people taking that leap into, you know, running a gallery full time. And these sort of pop-up DIY things are tremendous because what you do is very important to what I do. I can see 30 artists. I can watch 30 artists grow. I can input you guys do too. I mean, we can do that. I'm watching probably 3 dozen artists right now. You don't know it, right? I'm seeing your work. I don't always sign in the book, unfortunately. I'm looking at your website. I'm looking at things you sent to info@. And it kind of just depends, too, because while you're trying to get my attention, I'm also growing our program. And that program could be going this way. My program's going this way, and your artwork's going this way. It's no longer a match. You know? And so come to our openings. Come to things like this. Network. Do. Apply for the Sondheim Prize. Get your work out there. Talk to Seth later. Talk to him later if you make design. Yeah, absolutely. Those are the kinds of things. There's no one magical thing. Yeah.
You know, and one way, talking about getting your work shown, I was recently, I know we're in the district, but I was recently talking with an arts commissioner in Arlington who says they have space around their city that they often allow artists to do, of course, use the term pop-up shows, of just solo shows of their own work. And I know Philippa and the Pink Line is very active in doing those types of shows too. So one way to also get your work out there, to get it seen, is that avenue too, is to, look, we know there's a lot of empty retail space around Washington, D.C. at the moment, and sometimes, really, and I was advised by this too, said, you know what, talk to the landlord or the developer and say, tell you what, I would like to do a solo show at your space. It will bring in a lot of people. It'll be great for you, great for me. And that's one opportunity also. I mean, we're talking about the gallery route, but I'm saying initially getting noticed, right, too. Because when I did talk to the commissioner in Arlington, they said that is something that they love to do, actually. And I know we have the DC Arts Commission. You could contact them as well. So that's just another avenue about it, to initially get your work out there.
And by the way, when you show work, make sure it's what you want to show.
Yes.
Don't just put something out there and go, let me see if it sticks on the wall or whatever, yeah. If I'm going to come look at your work, or if you're going to put work in a show, you give it 100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Ed Winkleman, who was the author of the first book that Lee showed, has a blog where there was an entire post that he wrote about artists doing these kind of DIY shows and approaching these empty retail spaces and the kind of concerns about insurance, like all the considerations that you would want to think about when approaching that type of situation. And I think that kind of approach to showing your work and putting that extra effort in, installing your own show, or bringing together a group of artists to mount your own shows is a good way to be noticed. And if you're going to take the effort to do that, make sure you have the people on your mailing list that you want to notice.
It's a good way to get noticed, just both of those points. It's a good way to get noticed, but it's also a good experience for you, too, to have to hang your own work, to curate yourself and or your friends or whomever you're sharing this pop-up space with. And it gets you practiced in, if you're going to have this pop-up space, you're going to make and man your own gallery hours. Then someone comes in, and then you have to talk about your work. So it just helps you kind of polish yourself, I guess, for later opportunities to actually then have that kind of interaction with the gallery. You have a lot more hands-on experience with what's at stake when you start working with the gallery.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to do that kind of stuff, because even if you do approach a gallery, they do like your work, they want to work with you. It might be 1 or 2 years. They may have, most galleries have their schedule planned out many months ahead of time. So even if, you do fall into that category and they do like your work, it could take up to another year and your work may have changed since then. So I think that, again, that just promoting yourself, exhibiting your own work or networking with other artists to do shows on your own is a quick way to get the ball rolling and start getting your work out there.
Yes, thank you so much for spending the time to do this. This has been very informative. And you've talked a little bit about DIY initiatives, and I don't know if you would put those in the same category as artists own and run galleries. And I'd be really interested in hearing both from the artists and the gallerists some pros and cons of belonging to one of those. Because for an artist, it's a huge investment in non-art making time, and I don't know, I mean, and that's okay, I suppose, but I wonder if there are any pitfalls or any things that an artist should consider, and if more traditional galleries frown upon or encourage or are neutral about that sort of thing. And the next question I have is about pricing art. I'd be interested in hearing anything you have to say about that too. Yeah. Thank you.
I have to say about artists that actually open galleries, they would be like in that category of people that I would say heart of gold. It's like, it is, I can imagine, because I haven't done it, but I know from watching other artists, it's a huge commitment. It is a project of love. You are investing your time, your energy, your part-time job that you already have, you know, your resources into making opportunities for other people. So, you know, like creating a space or an audience or a moment for people to see art and to talk about it. It's fantastic. I encourage anyone, I challenge anyone to do that. Go!
I think it's terrific, but one of the things you were asking is, do galleries look down on that? Heavens no, it's terrific. There are how many galleries in the city, and there are how many artists in the city? Do the math. We can't show everybody. And your work may not fit with our mission. So if you're showing, you know, regularly in D.C., doing what you want to do, doing what you want to do when you grow up, they're doing it, then that's a good relationship for you. Do you want to move on to a different, if you're in a co-op, and move on to something different? If you're unhappy, yeah, sure. But the one thing you'd have to look at is, have you exhausted your market? You know, if you're selling pieces for $500, you're selling thousands of pieces every, well, why would you want to move, right? First thing. But the second thing, I mean, if you're like looking for something different, that has to come from you and your studio mm-hmm. practice, and then you decide whether you make that break and go to a different kind of gallery.
So just to, not to go into how to price your work, because that is a whole other workshop here that we could do, but I want to gear this question towards Lee, because you guys have had the Go-Go Arts projects for a few years, which is just for emerging artists. And so you're working with both tiers of artists, more established and then, you know, right out of the bag mm-hmm. artists. So how do you manage the momentum in the market of an emerging artist career?
Again, it depends. But, you know, it's funny. Go-Go Art Projects came out of the Academy show that we've done every year for the last 10 years, which was started by Jamie Smith. And, you know, some artists will come out of school and say, and I'll say, well, how much do you want for your art? Somebody will say $50. It'd be this magnificent painting. Somebody will say $50,000. I actually had somebody want to price something at $50,000. I'm like, you're at the wrong market level. It's worth $1 million, but right now we could probably get 10, you know. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very realistic. If you are a sculptor and you put $10,000 worth of work and hard effort into your bronze, you're probably not going to get it back the first time you sell it, you know. So you have to be realistic about how you do things. Now, how do we price these things? To your market, you know. I want you to be happy. I want to be happy. I'm not going to let you shoot yourself in the foot, you know, and price things too high. It needs to be in accordance with where you are in your studio practice and where you're going and who you want to be. So, again, it came out of Academy with young MFA students coming out, BFA students coming out, and then moving them into a more professional area, getting studio practice good. And then you can start to price the works at $1,000, $2,000. There's no set number. But you're not going to start off at $10,000 when you're young, more than likely. But if you have, come see me.
Hello. I wanted to thank you for having this, because it's quite enlightening. And my question is, what can galleries do to increase the critiques, the reviews here in Washington, so that we can heighten the discourse around the work and the theory behind the work? I just don't see enough of it here in Washington, D.C.
Coming from Baltimore and looking at D.C., it seems like D.C. has many more outlets for that type of discourse. There's definitely an emphasis on artist talks and additional programming beyond just the exhibition of the work, panel discussions like this one. And there are, it seems like, more bloggers, people who go out and document shows, throw their two cents in and put it on the internet, which is a great source for the artists in the show to develop more of a web presence. And then the papers do review the show. In Baltimore, the Baltimore Sun doesn't have an arts writer. Alex, who runs the gallery with me, works for the city paper, so we can't get reviews or any accolades or recognition through that. And because of that, we've kind of focused more on getting the work on the internet and trying to get recognition through more blogs on a more national scale and kind of more internet presence from people from other cities recognizing what we're doing. But I just think that, like with Alex, she started a blog, and that's how she got her job at the city paper. And it took a lot of dedication on her part to go out and go to every show and take. The name of the blog is There Were 10 Tigers, .blogspot.com. And so she goes out to stuff in D.C., stuff in Baltimore. It's usually visually art-focused, but then kind of sometimes goes into theater and music events and other kind of cultural happenings. But there need to be more people who do that, because it's a great way to create an archive of a scene or a moment in a city's history of what is culturally happening, and with the internet, it's a great way to archive that.
What kind of methods do you use to represent your artists aggressively?
I don't cold call, actually. I don't believe in those, because people never return phone calls, and everybody now has caller ID, and if they don't, and like me, if I see it on my voice, if I don't recognize it, I don't pick it up. Emails, but aggressive, when I say aggressive emails, when I say that, an email in the sense that a complete email specifically noting what I'm doing, who my artists are, why it's a good fit, doing the research, for example, to a museum, saying, your collection is ideal for this artist, let's meet. I will be in New York next week. Let's talk on the phone. I will call you tomorrow. Specifically following up.
Just taking adapting your question a little bit. One of the things that I really appreciate about having gallery representation is having my gallery director be the one to maintain collector relationships and to be the one to pursue sales with them, either as a result of my show or just, hey, you know, this artist that you've collected in the past, she also is having this show here or there. And so that's one of the things that my gallery does for me that is totally something that I, as the artist, like, I really don't want to have any involvement with. And that's where their great business acumen comes into play and their methods of marketing and things like that. So that's one of the definite benefits of having that.
I wouldn't say we're so aggressive. And this has to do with your question about success. It's like, we're going to talk about what success means to you during your first show with me. And that may be, I want to see 100 people at my opening. Okay, done. You know, you check these things off. And as you begin to grow as an artist, you say, what I really want to do is I want to be in this collection, or I want Blake Gottman to write something about me, or I want, you know, Warren Magazine to put me on the cover, or I want, you know, these things. You're going to have little things right or wrong that are things you want. If we work toward those things for you, and we're making money, because you have to make money to be an artist, and I have to make money to be a gallery. As we move those things, we'll get into more aggressive marketing or appropriate marketing for your market level.
Does anybody have any additional questions?